Welcome everyone to the Utah PTA Pulse Podcast. We're joined here tonight by Steve here to my right, and to the left of me, to your right, for the first time, is our host.
I'm Cammie Whitchurch. I'm the Community Engagement Commissioner.
And I'm Anjali Ado, the Family Life Commissioner.
And Steve's going to introduce himself right now.
I'm Steve James. I'm founder and CEO of Resilient U.
Awesome. So, before we begin, Anjali always has a question of craziness for us.
I have a good one.
Okay.
Do you think our dreams have hidden meanings?
Of course they do.
I mean, I say yes, 100%, but what do you guys think?
Yes.
I say for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally do.
I know I do a lot of problem solving in my dreams, too. I don't know if you guys do that, but like, you have something you need to get done, or you're doing it in your dreams, yeah.
You're working in your dreams? That sucks.
I work in a lot of my dreams, too.
It is terrible, actually. Yeah, when you wake up and you're like, you mean I didn't really do all of that?
And there's also a hidden meaning behind coming up with the question, do your dreams have hidden meanings?
True.
That's deep.
I don't know.
He's getting really deep on us.
I know, for real.
Deep dive with Steve.
That's right. We have him on always.
I don't know. One question I asked that I thought we'd have like more conversation on was if we believed in ghosts, and all of us were just like, yeah, totally. Like,
just come to the PTA office. You don't believe in ghosts.
All right. Well, Steve, okay. Why don't you tell us all about Resilient U, or whatever you want to tell us right now?
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, Resilient U is a statewide program, and we are so excited to be able to create connections that build resilience. And a lot of times, there are a lot of people out in the community that don't realize what resilience means, but it's the ability. It'll be interesting. That's a good question. Yeah, what does resilience mean to you?
Let me write that down.
Okay. Well, we should answer before he tells us the official answer.
Well, and you know, I don't know if there is an official answer other than what the definition is, but I'm just curious, what is resilience to you all?
I think resilience is being able to do well or be positive in negative situations.
Yeah, I would say kind of being able to recover from, you know, from difficult situations that you encounter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would even say that part of it is like realizing that you are having, you know, that maybe something is
That's
hard
a really
or
good
challenging,
point.
Yeah. But then also being like, well, I got to move forward, and I feel like sometimes we say like move forward means like you forget what's happening in the past or I don't know the word I'm looking for, but you can still push forward and go forward even though you're experiencing something hard and
kind of acknowledging what
because I'm like we have to realize what happened and you know deal with those emotions and then move forward, you know.
So. And that's so true because we all have challenges, and especially look at what we've been through for the last 5 years.
Oh yeah, totally.
And I love to look back at the beginning of the pandemic, and you saw those teachers, I tell you, our heroes, who just, for example, had to recreate an entire environment for the students and to work online even in different ways that they never had before. But the ability to bounce back from those obstacles and to recover from difficult situations is a wonderful quality to be able to have. And that truly is resilience. But also, not only to overcome our obstacles, but a lot of mental health professionals, especially in the last 5 years, have taught me at least that, you know, some obstacles you can't quite overcome. And so sometimes it's the ability to navigate through life's challenges as we do that. And our children look at us parents as examples of how to navigate those challenges as we do that. And I tell you, it's a wonderful ability to be able to be resilient. And if we can teach kids to be resilient, that would be just so important. It mm-hmm. really is. You look at like the Sharp survey that just came out. Well, it comes out every couple of years, but the most recent Sharp survey shows that 75% of the children who were surveyed, we're talking thousands, over 41,000 kids that were surveyed ages 12 through 18, that over 75% of them are moderately to severely depressed.
Oh, wow. 75%.
And a huge percentage even have had, I think, over 17 to 18%, and I don't have the stats here right now, but around that have even thought about suicide. And over 13% have had a plan, and then and there are unfortunately a large percentage, like 7 to 8%, actually attempted. And again, I don't have the stats right here, but it's around those numbers. And if you think about that and the difficulties that kids have gone through, and every single child is important. You know, you have every child one voice, and when we have the opportunity as parents to be able to help the children, and now grandparents are really involved even with the children's lives. If we can teach our families and our kids to be resilient and to be able to overcome and navigate these challenges through life, then they're going to be better equipped to make positive and healthy choices, stay away from risky behaviors, and that just really is what we want to, you know, try to accomplish.
Yeah. I was talking with a friend last week, and we were talking about some struggles that my daughter was having, but we were talking about how when we were growing up, we had to go, like, if somebody bothered us or we were having an issue with someone or something, we had to go and, like, do something about it. You know, you had to go and talk to them or call them on the phone or, like, write them a note during class, you know, but you did something about it. And then you, like, kind of just, you did your thing and you're like, okay, like, we're going to move forward. But now it's just in their pocket constantly, you know. And how do you help them move forward when it's constantly all around them, you know? And I'm like, that's like, we have to teach resiliency a little bit differently than kind of what we grew up in, the way that we are resilient. And I've been telling all my friends about that because it's like just stuck on my brain that, yeah, it is different. And for us, when we got knocked down, we got back up, but they're like constantly knocked down, you know, it's always around them. And it's just a different challenge than kind of what we grew up with. So, yeah.
Well, we're excited to announce an initiative, which is a part of Resilient You, that's called the Child Connection. And one thing that we have really struggled with, especially during the pandemic years, is not only the fear of the disease itself and what's around and in the media, but also the lack of connection and disconnection that everyone had, which really caused a great deal of mental health issues. And I'm not a mental health professional, but we've seen it, we've heard it, we know that. And then also our kids and also adults and teenagers as well have turned to other means of connecting. And even through, for example, a forum such as social media, which can be helpful, but too much and too much connection there can be hurtful too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, connecting with our children is just so, so very important. If parents can connect with their kids, if schools can connect with the child, if the communities connect with the child and be able to help to build resilience, that will strengthen our community.
Yeah. So, just kind of to go off of this child connection. So, first of all, if people want to access it, they can go to resilientyou.org and then click. I mean, what's the easiest? Just tell them the Child Connect Toolkit, or is it easier to navigate?
You bet. We're really excited with we have the Child Connection Toolkit, and you can just go to resilientyou.org and you can just scroll down and click on the Child Connection Toolkit. And it will take you to a landing page where you'll have a choice where you can either go, if you're a home, you can go to the parents and families connection or the link. Or if you're a teacher or a school, you can connect with that link. And then the toolkit contains, we have a half hour children's show that has a series of 7 music videos that addresses certain subjects that build resilience with questions and challenges that come along. But it's designed for the parents to have a tool to sit down with their children and connect and be able to watch and then discuss the subjects that are covered and then open up the dialogue and communicate, and then be able to set goals as a family that you can monitor. And studies show that that's one of the most important things you can do as a parent, to keep your kids away from destructive behaviors like drugs, alcohol, violence, crime, you know, all of that. So that's super important.
So what if they want to get this in their school, or if they want to, how does the school component of this work into that?
That's a really good question. Guess what? It's free. It's just all online. You just, if you're a teacher, if you're a principal, if you're a psychologist, counselor, you just go to resilientu.org, you click on that child connection kit, and you'll immediately be taken to instructions, and you'll have access to the half hour special, or you can watch by individual video, and it shows that too. And then also, if you have any questions about your family, if you have a child who's autistic or is suicidal or has depression, there's a link to the Parent Link, which is formerly known as Uplift Families, but it's an online resource base where you're literally two clicks away from finding resources for your family and your kids.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's such a nice resource. And I've been on there a couple of times, and it's really easy. You literally put their age in and kind of the topic you're looking for, and it pulls up a bunch of articles. And I know you've said in the past that they're vetted. It's not just, you know, any old article that you can...
Well, it's a roll of the dice to go on Google sometimes.
Oh,
right?
For sure. For sure.
And so literally we have over 1,000 vetted entry points and links to the top issues that are plaguing our families. As a matter of fact, every year at the PTA convention, we take a survey for all of the subjects that parents are looking for and would like, and questions that they have, and we've incorporated them all on the site.
That's really cool.
I love that.
Yeah. So moving forward, I mean, you've got this one episode. Or is there a plan to have more episodes, or how will this expand, or is this kind of it?
Well, Cammie, you know what questions to ask, because this year we are trying to raise funding and to try to apply for some grants and do things. Our goal this year is to film 10 episodes.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be great? Amazing. The music's already done. It's already been a part of core curriculum in Utah for years. And so we already have so much of the content there. It's just putting those episodes together.
That's really cool. That's really neat. That's awesome. Go ahead.
And then I'll ask.
I was just going to say, you have some events coming up, especially in April for Resilient You. Do you want to tell us a little bit about those events that they can kind of look for?
Absolutely. April of this year is Resilient Utah Month. And we started in 2020, we started with Governor Herbert, that we dedicated an entire month to resilience in our state and families. And so he filmed messages for parents and was kind enough to film some commercial spots as well. And Governor Cox has continued to do the same. So we have a governor-declared month called Resilient Utah Month, which is this April. And we'll have some various events and different things going on. We'll have a special message that will be sent home to elementary parents and also to secondary parents. So the elementary parents will get the Child Connection Toolkit, and along with some special messages. And we are also honoring during the month of April too, Utah PTA for 100 years.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
That's so exciting. Mm-hmm.
And then secondary schools will be able to get information with our partner, A Promise to Live, which is suicide prevention. So we want to try to get as many secondary students in the state and teachers and adults and families to take that Promise to Live. That if you're ever in a dark place, that you'll reach out and be able to be able to reach out to someone, a trusted source. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Okay.
Well, I was going to ask, who are some other of your partners? So you have Promise to Live. Are there any other partners that you work with?
Well, our partner from day number one has always been Utah PTA. So
you have to tell us about all the ladies that you've worked with behind here.
Well, we not only have the photos here, we have five photos there, and then we have Corey Fairholm, who's this year's president. But I started working with Utah PTA, and everywhere I go, being an ambassador for To try to get membership and just to increase awareness of PTA. I have been a member as long as I've had kids, and our oldest kid is 29 years old. And so, and I even, during high school, I was over our kids' grad night.
I bet you made it so fun.
Oh, do you know what? I had a blast. We had a great board. Corey Fairholm was on our board, too. So I had the pleasure of knowing her from the beginning with our board. Yeah, but we have Barbara Willey is the first PTA Utah president that I worked with. And we have Barbara and Colleen and Susan and Joanne and Carmen and Marilyn and Eileen. And it just goes on all the way up to... So... I don't know. Quite how many amazing. Is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
14 presidents. Yeah. That's crazy, because that's like 28 years, right?
It's a long time.
You're not old enough to be. Were you like 10 when you...
I don't know. I don't know. It's been many years.
You're like,
and
maybe.
Many... Sure, yeah, I was 10.
It's many years and many pounds ago. I'm just lucky that right now the pounds smooth out the wrinkles, right?
There you go. So, filling in the face. Yeah. You don't have to pay for fillers. It's natural.
No, it's been a pleasure. I just love PTA, and we promoted with our assemblies and our concerts and everywhere from Tuacon with thousands of people in the audience and thousands of kids singing our songs all the way to, you know, to a little elementary school at Hill Air Force Base to concerts before their parents go and get deployed. We always not only honor the parents and the teachers, but we honor a Utah PTA.
I love that.
That's great. I love that too. Do you have any other partners that you work with?
Yeah, I mean, Promise to Live is one of our trusted partners. We also have Uplift Families, which is now the Parent Link, which is a partner. We also have the wonderful opportunity of working with the Utah Prevention Network statewide. And I don't know if you know, but we have 13 planning districts in the state of Utah, and every planning district has a mental health agency that's there with representatives from all those districts that sit on a committee. And they're just wonderful, amazing people that help with to help protect our kids. And we've worked with them for the longest time. The Charter Schools Association, Principals Association, both secondary, elementary, the Superintendents Association. Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity of working with so many wonderful organizations.
I love that.
It's great. Okay, so something that we haven't talked about but is kind of going on right now. During Resilient Utah Month, you'll do some awards, and do you kind of want to talk about these education tribute awards?
I would love to. We just love our very first Resilient Utah Month. We did a special dedicatory message from the governor to the teachers, and we wanted to do just so much to recognize, and I shouldn't say only teachers, we're talking educators, administrators, and that includes parent organizations, and we wanted to recognize them, so we came up with the Education Tribute Awards, and we have every single year we present those, and they give out, we recognize high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, teachers from those different schools, elementary principals, secondary principal. We have the parent organization award, mental health professionals. And so if you'd like to nominate your area or a favorite teacher, a favorite principal, a favorite school, nominate yourself as your favorite PTA.
That's right. But
be sure to do that because we have just about a week left right now, unless we extend it. We have the deadline, which is in about a week. So go to resilientu.org/nominate. That's resilientu.org/nominate. And seriously, nominate your favorite teacher, school, mental health professional. I mean, they need that recognition.
Oh, totally.
And even those who are not finally chosen as the recipient of the award, we honor all of those who are nominated.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah.
That's really neat. And I mean, there were 8, it showed the award winners from last year, and there are 8, like, that's so awesome. That means 8 either organizations or people.
So, and you see that it's I believe it's Taylorsville High School was the high school. And we had such a special experience there because they unfortunately lost their principal. She passed away.
Oh, that's right.
And they had an interim principal there. But we had a special message written by the husband of the late principal.
Oh, I love that.
And the kids were out there on the field, and we came out there and presented at a very special occasion. And you know, and we've had counselors and teachers who are overcome, but we honor them for their ability to set outstanding examples of resilience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always an emotional and very wonderful experience. We go personally to deliver the award, and then we also present an award at a special event.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we're going to have a very special event. And where we're going to also recognize Utah PTA, so we're excited.
PTA.
Y'all got to be there.
I'm like, we'll be there.
That would be awesome. We would love that. So
I guess PTA should show up.
Yes, we should.
You always do, though. You always do. Every major event, Cammie, you know.
We
make sure you're invited and you feel appreciated and validated. And we want everyone out there just to know how grateful we are for every one of you and your examples, and you are seen, you are enough, you matter, and everyone has challenges, but the examples you set for those children and the families and the parents out there, everyone on the local levels as well as up to the state levels, we just cannot express our appreciation enough to each and every one of you for all that you do to build resilience in children and families and to serve,
mm-hmm.
because that's what you do, is you truly serve families in Utah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to pivot and ask Steve some more personal questions, if
sure.
you're okay with that.
Absolutely.
So can one of your talents is singing. So can
yes.
you tell us about how you got involved in singing and kind of your career and piano, like all the things? You're so talented. I'd love to hear about that side of it too.
Oh, thanks. Well, I was singing probably before I talked even. And I remember that, now, gosh, I haven't ever said this in an interview, but I'm going to. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. We got an exclusive.
In our church, my mom would lead the music in primary when I was a baby, and she would put me in the seat and bring me in there and stuff. And I noticed that she would kind of go like this with her hands. And you're going to laugh, but this is true. I totally remember this. But I remember in my playpen, the crossbars of the playpen were the same as what my mom would do with the music. And so I would do that to the crossbars whenever I'd listen to music, and I'd sing. And so literally, I did sing ever since I was a little kid. I can't promise it was on tune, but I did. But growing up, my first song that I ever wrote was on a ukulele when my grandma taught me how to play my first instrument at age six.
Wow.
And I wrote, we were studying in school cowboy lullabies. And there's all these songs that like Get Along Little Dogie and, you know, and whatever Little Dogie. And as a kid, I just didn't like the word dogie. So I thought it was just a disturbing word. And so my motivation to write my very first song was write a cowboy lullaby that did not have the word dogie. Isn't that funny?
I love that so much. I don't blame
so you.
So it was called Go to Sleep, My Little Herd.
Oh,
that's better.
Do you still sing it on occasion?
Or? You know, I do. Do you want me to sing it for you?
Yes, please.
I'm not going to sing it. It had 10 verses.
Maybe the first verse.
But it goes, go to sleep, my little herd. I can't believe I'm singing this on a podcast. Go to sleep, my little herd. And then I'd always go,
like
the coyote.
Gosh.
And I go, romp and stomp and do all your things tomorrow. Go to sleep, my little herd.
That's amazing. You were six when you were
I was six, and I wanted to make my mom cry. I wanted to touch her heart.
She like bawled.
And I did. I mean, everything I did was just dedicated to my mom. I just, you know, my mom, just such a sweetheart. But anyway, I remember the last verse that I wrote. I just wanted something that would touch her heart. And so that my last verse was, go to sleep, my little herd, go to sleep, my little herd. I go, the sun went down, the moon came up, so go to sleep. And I thought that was so emotional because it was motion. The sun went down and then the moon came up, and go to sleep. And she cried.
I bet. That's so cute.
Anyway, that was my... my first song.
I love that. Well, and you play that, so did you just kind of go from like the ukulele to the piano, or
what was that? You know that, well, my mom had a guitar, and so did you know that the four strings of the ukulele are the same as the first four strings of a guitar?
Uh-huh. Capoed at five.
Mm, there you go. Okay. You
know, like, I did not know that.
I do know that because I play the ukulele. But okay.
And so, I mean, and the, a little different an octave depending on the ukulele you play. I learned on a bass ukulele, and my mom had a smaller ukulele, so... But anyway, same chords. And so I just added that extra finger, and I figured it out myself. And so I taught myself to play the guitar, basically. And then from there, when I was 8 years old, I saw a documentary on Leonard Bernstein. Mm. And it just made me want to play the piano. And my parents, they rented a piano, and they eventually bought a piano. Mm-hmm. And I would just kind of play around and goof around, but... this is a true story, honest to gosh. I was upstairs, and my mom always whistled while she worked. She always sang. In fact, if you want to picture my mom, have you ever seen the movie Enchanted before?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and I don't know if I've ever talked about this either, but I'm just so honored because the actress Amy Adams is my cousin,
oh, cool.
and who played Princess Giselle, and I know that she had my mom... at least in parts, in mind a little bit when she was playing that part, because my mom was just like Princess Giselle. And anyway, so literally my mom would sing and whistle while she worked and all of that stuff. And she was working around the house and listening to the song, The Entertainer, on the soundtrack of The Sting. I mean, you all are so young, you probably don't even know that. But anyway, something clicked in my brain, and I just knew how to play it. Oh, it was the craziest thing. I just listened to it, and I ran downstairs, and very roughly, I started plucking out the song, and I called my mom down, and you know, and she was really surprised, but that was my first time playing the piano, mm-hmm. really, by ear. Wow. And that's I don't amazing. Read music, really. I just play by ear and write songs. So.
That is that's a really crazy. Special talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had my mom. She passed away. We took care of her until she passed away here just about a year and a half ago. And we were just so honored to be able to have our family there and sing. And we have a very musical family. And I married an angel who sings. She has the voice of an angel, literally. Anyways, Amy even came for the funeral and some other cousins. And my uncle, who is my mom's brother, we all had a very musical experience and tribute to my mom. And and really, you know, just all of this music, all of this, it kind of is a tribute to my parents, especially my mom.
Oh, wow. That's neat. That's neat to see the influence that she had on you. And you're one of, like, the most gracious people I know, too. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, I bet your mom was the same way. Just like always wanting to show appreciation to people. Like you, I think you've done your mom proud.
Oh, thank mm-hmm. you.
For sure.
That you become.
Well, yeah. That's, for sure. That's my goal. And like I said, I married an angel who's the mother of our kids. But, you know, no matter what our families look like, no matter if it's a single parent family, if you have two parents, if the kids are living with grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever that is, whoever is doing the parenting, there's one thing that stands out is that I don't think sometimes we realize as parents the influence we truly have in the lives of our kids. And even sometimes where we don't think they're looking, studies show that they really, really are. They're watching. And it's the parental disapproval of things like underage drinking and drugs and negative behavior, risky behaviors. It's the rules that we set in our homes that the kids really do listen to. And it's setting clear guidelines and following up on that and monitoring. Our kids do listen, even though it seems like they don't. Studies show that they do. And parents are the number one reason why those kids will make those positive decisions in their lives. And they will remember. So that love, that acceptance, that connection that we have with our kids is vital. And that's why the work that Utah PTA does is so essential, because it fosters that communication, that interaction, that engagement with our kids. So again, thank you for all that you do. And our message needs to be to everyone is know the influence that you have as a parent.
Yeah.
To your children. I know the influence that my mom had and my dad too.
Well, that just reminds me of your initiative that you guys are working on with like the family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and spending time.
Yeah, and spending quality time and quality time without like a screen, you know, and being willing to have hard discussions or just easy discussions, you know, maybe you have to ease into talking with your kids more, but I think that's important. And I think dinner is especially family dinners or family breakfast or whatever meal you want to do it at is important because you learn so many skills by sitting down at the table and, you know, you learn manners and hopefully you learn manners, but you also learn how to like disagree with each other and have fun with each other and how to communicate with different communication styles. And I think that's all important when you're trying to, you know, connect with your kids and your family. And so I love it.
That connection is so important.
Yeah.
And sitting down for dinner or however you have your dinner, even if it's TV trays around a couch, still it's that association and that connection, that bonding that happens. That studies have shown that that's one of the important things you can do.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, any other questions we have?
Could you elaborate just how, I mean, you founded this, right?
Uh-huh.
How did that come about? I mean, you talked about your mom. I'm like, did he want that for everybody else? You sound resilient because of your parents. Is that kind of how it came about? What was their story? Was your kids? You can tell me. You can tell me how it came about.
Well, growing up and going through school, I've always loved. I loved music. That's always been my job or what I do is just that. It's always been that way since I was like 12, 13. That's when I first started performing and writing professionally. And but I always loved student government too, and in high school. And I loved leadership and I loved music and I always wanted to do something even later in life in my 20s before I was married. I loved speaking, I loved performing, but I always wanted to make a difference. And you know, going back to my mom, you know, when my mom sat me down after she heard me play the piano, you know, after I brought her to after she passed out, you know, no, she didn't pass out, but she was pretty surprised. And I was surprised too, that I could play that piano. But my mom turned around and I remember over that period of time, but this in essence, what she said that I can maybe remember is that this is a gift. Mm-hmm. And now your responsibility with that gift is to give it away and to make a difference. And so, you know, I guess, you know, I had dreams of being a rock star and this and that, or the next Billy Joel, and that didn't quite happen. But you know what, though? Just to be able to use music and the power of music to align with important life-saving messages, and that can touch the heart, that you can learn. Music's a powerful tool. Look what they do in commercials, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, like if I went, I am stuck on Band-Aids because...
Band-Aids stuck on you.
You know, I mean, you know, and you have these commercials you haven't heard for years or decades, and then all of a sudden it comes back immediately to your mind. Why? Because it's attached to musical hooks. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I do when I speak. I give a talk called... it's called Hook and Thinker, you know? Yeah. And it's the musical hook that can help you remember things. So the ability to attach those messages to the power of music and then deliver them, and then it's through repetition. You know, Peter Benson long ago from Search Institute said, good prevention is planned redundancy. And if you look at how did you learn commercials, well, it's because you saw them over again, but the thing is that it's through the repetition that you were able to remember. And if we can have good messages that are attached to the you know, the music and the catchy tunes, and then you get the kids singing, then, you know, that they can remember that. And so that's always been a goal of mine, to be able to do that. And not only just write awesome songs, you know, that are catchy and that, you know, about your girlfriend or your or your life or your woes or the sad things to make you cry, but to also write music that matters, like music with messages. And I guess that's what my life's been dedicated to a little bit, is that we want to use music to deliver positive messages and to help kids and families and people and, you know, stuff. So
thank you. Sure. Do you have any, like, I'm sure you have hundreds of stories, anybody that you could tell us about that because of Resilient You it changed their life for the better?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you just a couple of short stories about the power of music that really has helped me. Resilient You came to be later on, but our music has been around for a long time. And my music has been in Utah schools as core curriculum for quite some time. You know, as you can tell, I've known a bit of Utah PTA presidents. But there were some interesting stories that came. I got a call from a principal one time, and she said that there were two girls, they were sisters, on their way to school, and then a car pulled over, and it was a stranger. It's a man. He asked them both to get in because he had some puppies at home to show them. And the girls had learned in school, the whole school, they learned, it's called the Stranger Song, that's from our curriculum. And, the song kind of goes, there's a stranger calling out to you. I wrote it like a villain song, you know, asking you your name. What do you do if they offer you something? What do you say? And the kids go, I turn around and run away singing, I do not know you, you know. And the girls told the principal that song popped in their head in that circumstance. And then they turned around and they ran away. And they went straight to the principal's office, and the guy sped off. And she said, you know, that song just might have saved a life today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, that kind of thing is just amazing. There's a time my wife and I, because we do assemblies here, don't do it anymore, but actually we're going to start doing some programs coming up, and so we'll let you all know. But we went to Manti. And it was a little elementary school there. And the teachers were great. The principal was great. But there was this kid that kept raising his hand. And even in the middle of songs, we would sing. And my wife and I, we love doing comedy and fun stuff and engaging things. In addition to sing the songs and get these kids to sing with us. But this kid kept raising his hand. And he wanted to come up and dance, come up and sing. And he was just so eager. And afterward... Anyway, I was talking to the principal afterward, and this little kid came up, and he kind of yanked on my shirt, and I turned around, and this kid said, I just want to thank you for the music, and thank you for today. And my wife and I were there, and my wife is an angel. She just, you know, she just looks like she is a Disney princess herself. And he said that to both of us, and then he turned around and said, bye. And then we turned to the principal, and the principal was crying. She had tears streaming down her face, and she said, that is the first time, the kid was like in fourth grade, something like that, but she said, in all these years of the kid being in school, that's the first time we've heard him speak full sentences. He's severely autistic.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, music has a power, yeah. and it's, you know, and with great power comes responsibility, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some really cool, you know, just really quickly, I was contacted by a mother whose kid played soccer for the first time. And he went and to her, it was sad to her that she saw kids bullying her son on the field. And he got, he was bullied, and it broke her heart. Mm-hmm. And she had to fight back tears. She got in the car after it was over, and the kid turned to her and she said, I am so, so sorry that you were treated that way. And he goes, it's okay, Mom, because I'm stronger than sticks and stones. And the thing is, our bully song, it just says, you gotta find inside, I'm stronger than sticks and stones. And they were singing that. So one thing we know is kids listen. Mm-hmm. They really do. And they listen to the good as well as the not so good. Mm-hmm. So we need to surround them by as much good as we can.
Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that. You know, everyone listening and watching, this is great. I'm glad that you offer it for free, because there's a lot of, I've been to conventions and things and only $700 will come to your school. I'm like, oh, but free, this sounds wonderful to offer it for parents too. When I find things that I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. And I've been on the PTA website. Oh, that's what I need. I need that. And I share it. And I'm like, okay, good. There's resources out there. So this sounds like a wonderful resource.
Well, I have to thank our sponsors and the programs that enable us to do that. And of course, that begins with my wife and I try to, you know, do as much as we can as we've done over the years. But this has been a part of, a lot of this music has been a part of core curriculum for a long time in the state of Utah. And, but we're at a point right now where at least within the borders of Utah, we want to make this available to parents. Let's use music to touch the lives mm-hmm. of our family and their jingles for good, helping your kids learn how to make positive and healthy choices. And I will say this, research shows too, that if you're trying to teach bully prevention, the best thing to do would be not to use the word bully. And don't bully this, don't bully that. It's kind of like going down, you know, skiing down a hill going, I'm not going to hit that tree, I'm not going to hit that tree, you know. But research shows that actually promoting the positive alternative to the negative issue is the best. Which is why, you know, that's why one of my companies is called Something Good, Inc. And that's why we've had this children's show called Something Good, because you want to focus on the good. So instead of teaching bullying, don't bully, actually teach kindness and respect. Mm-hmm. You can't go into an elementary school to talk literally about suicide prevention, mm-hmm. but you can teach to don't give up. If when life gets hard, you can keep on get up and keep on going and rise each time you fall and you know, teach the aspects of resilience, right? And that's what we do. All the songs that you hear are all positive. They're all the positive alternatives to the negative issues mm-hmm. That you focus on.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Exciting.
Well, I think that's a great way to end.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Steve, sing us out. I'm just
kidding. I know, right?
It has been a pleasure to be with my friends with Utah PTA. Again, thank you for what you do. Thank you for using technology to be able to have this podcast, too. And thank you for watching. And tell your friends to join in and all your PTA friends to watch that this podcast is so valuable and what a great resource it is for you as you make a difference in the lives of kids and families.
Excellent.
Okay.
Okay, you ready to do what we really do?
Yeah, so at the end we do a little dance.
Ready? One, two.
Whatever you want.
Three.